Two fellers who were nothing but trouble were loose, and there wasn't anything I could do about that. I had other stuff to take care of, and lining up my deputies was top of the list. I needed some backup, and right away, I went hunting for my old deputies, Bertel and DeGraff. I thought I might find them in the sampling room, and sure enough, they were in there, sucking beer. I've kicked Berg out. You want to come in?
Where's Berg?
Him and Luke the Butcher are roaming free because Rampart cut him loose from some charges.
Rusty in?
He will be.
The supervisors, they took you back?
They never got rid of me, but they was working at it.
How's that?
I told them the whole thing.
We'll think about it.
Do that. I made up my mind I didn't want them. Rusty and me, we'd hold the fort until I could lasso some good men. I headed for Rusty's log cabin and found him sewing up a torn shirt. It didn't take long for me to tell him how things stood.
I'll come in shortly. Glad to have a job.
Maybe you don't. I still was outmanned, and Doubtful didn't have much law, but it was a start. I stopped at the Opera House on my way back just to thank Ralston for trying to bail me out. Much to my surprise, the matinee was starting up. Ralston himself was in the box office. How come? I thought you'd cancel.
The show goes on, even with half the cast. We've got a full house again.
All them gals, they're in the show?
They're troopers, Pickens. They're washed up and getting dressed.
But they was half sick and awake all night and scared. So how can they do a show?
Troopers, every one. And thanks for springing them. I heard the whole story. A slop pail tossed into iceberg.
You get to keep your box office take, Ralston, but I'd sure hide it.
It's a good thing. And don't think we're unaware of how it happened. You've got friends here. The girls, for instance. They sure love you.
Yeah, I'd like to marry that Ambrosia, but she isn't interested.
You could pop in and see her. We're going undraped for the matinee.
Ouch! Now you got me, Ralston. I'd give a week's salary to go in there and watch her do the Goddess of Liberty. But I got 1,000 troubles to deal with, and fast. The judge cut Iceberg and the Butcher loose.
I'll send her your fond best wishes.
Well, your show's safe as long as I'm sheriff, which may not be long if the county supervisors yank my badge.
A matinee and another tonight. That's 1,200 clear if we pack the house.
The girls in this show, they got a hard life. They're never far from trouble and hardly get a good night in a clean bed for weeks on end. I don't know why they do it.
Most of them come from a life that was worse. Being on the road with all its trouble is paradise for some compared to the places they escape from. The mean fathers, the cruel brothers, the men who treat them like dirt. They're tough, and they're loyal. And Desjardins treats them well, actually. He's turned the girls into a big business.
Them women are runaways?
Some, and from worse trouble and pain than you or I can imagine.
Well, I'd like to run away with Ambrosia, but I'd want her to quit taking her undies off in front of people. I wanted to watch Ambrosia real bad, and the rest of those leggy girls, but wearing a star changed everything again. So I headed back to the sheriff's office. Rusty was there, working a mop on all that slop on the jail floor, the windows wide open. I'm gonna find out where them two are hiding. I wanna see what else Luke the Butcher might have of mine.
You think he was the crime wave?
I think he was it. And if I can get into his cubbyhole, I'll probably find a thing or two.
Listen, Cotton, that one's not just dangerous and powerful. He's tricky, too. He's a knife man.
If he killed Critter, he won't be any of those things for long. I headed for Turk's, thinking Luke the Butcher was in there. But Turk said the man had got his bedroll out of the hayloft and gone away. After that, I tried the Wyoming Hotel and two flop houses back behind the saloons and checked three cat houses for good measure. I found the county supervisor, Reggie Thimble, in Aunt Alice's parlor house and Al Smythe, the postmaster, in Sing Long Sally's house of joy smoking a hookah. But I didn't see Iceberg and his pal puffing dope or getting cozy with tarts. I wondered if maybe the two had just quit town since they was out of a job. I decided to wait and see. The matinee got out and all them rannies off the ranches were pouring into the saloons for some liquid refreshment. I'd be parched too from panting my way through the Grand Luxembourg Follies. I thought it'd be a quiet evening in the saloons. Them cowboys were too busy thinking about women to get into a fight. They'd get drunk and ride out, wondering why the hell they were cowboys on ranches where there wasn't a female in sight. I had to knock to get Rusty to let me in, and even then he had his six gun drawn. He locked the door behind me. I saw in a glance he'd got the office polished up, and the jail too. No sign of Iceberg and the butcher, but they're around.
You line up any help?
Just you, Rusty.
You know something? I knew it'd work out like that.
I haven't got a night shift, but we got no one locked up. After the town quiets down, you go on home. We'll have to work days and evenings for now.
Hell, I'd sleep in a cell and make myself comfortable.
I'm gonna prowl tonight. I want to find out where the butcher's bunking. If I can find anything he lifted from my room at Bell's, I've got him.
Iceberg's the one to worry about. He doesn't steal anything.
I headed out into a June eve, just in time to discover a ruckus at the Ralston Opera House. Them women from the Watch and Ward Society were at it again, and Delphinium Sanders was leading the charge. They'd been real quiet for a couple of nights when Iceberg was wearing the star, but now they were waving posters and signs and marching like angry hornets. Some cowboys were coming up to the box office to buy some tickets, and the women started shouting,
"Shame on you! What would your mother think?"
"Oh, I think my mom'd say enjoy the sights."
"Don't you dare walk into that theater and defile womanhood."
"Hey, I've got the nicest little heifers on the ranch, just like these gals.
Got some prime bulls, too."
It was getting toward curtain time, and bunches of cowboys showed up suddenly, and they were pretty well liquored up. In fact, they was likely the same fellas that saw the matinee, and they'd come back for second servings. That's what pretty girls do for fellers. They'd headed for the nearest bars, soaked up some red eye, and here they were, real smiley. They'd lined up to buy tickets, eyeing the ladies with their posters, and looking pretty cheerful.
"Shame, shame, shame.
Shame, 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 shame."
But them women were yelling now and waving posters at the ticket buyers.
"Ladies, form a barrier. Shame, shame, shame."
And then they set down their signs and formed a line across the doors and held hands real tight and wouldn't let no one walk into the theater.
"Ladies, you can't do that. You gotta let them in.
The wages of sin.
Never, never, never.
Our hands are locked together in purity. We will let no one enter here. Do violence to us if you must, but we'll hold on as long as we can until brute force carries us away."
"Yes, yes, yes.
You courage."
All them boozy cowboys, they sort of stared awkwardly.
"Hey, you mind if I get around here?"
"Over our dead bodies."
This here was getting serious. A big bunch of cowboys was waiting to get inside, and these Watch and Ward women were blocking the path. I didn't like it.
"Ladies, you're trespassing, disturbing the peace. Now, I'd hate to have to take you in."
"Just try it, you brute."
Ralston waved me over to his box office.
"You'll get rid of them?"
"Them ladies, they're the banker's wife, the wives of the merchants, the wives of the trade people, the ones who run this here county. I could haul them in and book them and lock them up. By tomorrow morning, Iceberg would be sheriff, and you could kiss your opera house goodbye. I'll nab them if you want. They're trespassing. Up to you."
"Take the customers around to the stage door on the alley, but a few at a time, so these ladies don't get their knickers in a twist."
"Count on me. I'll get all them rannies seated fast."
I went to some of those cowboys.
"Head for the stage door in small bunches, and don't be obvious. Pass the word."
"You the sheriff, ain't you? Why not just nab these dames?"
"Believe me, that's not a bad idea. But you just slide around there in the dark, and they'll take your tickets back there."
The cowboy, he just shook his head like I was some sort of lame-brained idiot, and maybe I was. I drifted back to the stage door on the alley, arriving ahead of the rannies. I felt steel jammed into my gut.
"They're not going in, and those debased women aren't coming out."
I have learned not to argue with a revolver muzzle pressed into my belly.
"You're a bad joke. You tell the cowboys to go home, no show tonight. Tell them loud and clear, or you'll be a dead joke as well as a bad joke."
So I did. All them cowboys lined up at the box office to get their money back, and them old biddies was still barring the front doors, arm in arm, looking pretty smug. Inside, the piano was cranking up, even if there was hardly anyone in there to watch the Grand Luxembourg Follies. Ralston, he was sure unhappy in his box office as he began to dole out all them coins and greenbacks.
Pickens! I've changed my mind. I'm making a complaint. They're on my property. I asked them to leave. They refuse.
You want me to clear them out?
Oh, I have nothing to lose.
He turned to the cowboys at the head of the line.
You'll be going in as fast as the sheriff clears the way.
I went straight to Delphinium Sanders, who stared down her nose at me like I was a caterpillar.
Sorry, ma'am. I'm taking you in. Mr. Ralston, he's filed a complaint with me. You're trespassing.
Do you know who I am?
I know who all of you are.
We won't budge. We're here to stay.
If you don't come peaceable, ma'am, I'll add some charges of my own. Disturbing the peace, resisting arrest. The trespassing, that's a civil offense. You want to make it criminal?
Over my dead body.
We won't budge.
You come peaceable or face what I'll have to do.
You wouldn't dare.
I'll have Turk send a wagon and you'll get yourselves hauled.
This sure was entertaining that crowd of cowboys who thought it was better than the show starting up in there.
We'll help load them up.
Delphinium glared at him with a look intended to wilt spinach. But he just smiled back and looked real eager. She turned to me.
You'll pay. You'll pay for the rest of your life. Very well. We will go. Take us to our fate. We will go with dignity and as martyrs to our cause, the cause of purity and womanhood.
Well, she quit blocking the doors, and all of them biddies in their long skirts and bound-up hair and puffed sleeves, they huffed along toward my office. Behind me, I saw that mob of theater patrons pour it into the opera house at last.
You realize, young man, that your hours as sheriff are numbered. I will see to it.
I do what I have to do, ma'am. I received a complaint. I acted on it. It don't matter to me who's what. The law covers everyone, and that includes you, same as some vagrant wandering through here.
That's why Mr. Berg will replace you.
You just head up them steps and into there, and me and Rusty will book you.
Our husbands will have words with you.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Them ladies swept into the office like they owned it. I guess they thought they did own it. Rusty, he was so rattled by all this femaleness coming into his male precinct that he just gaped.
Take their names and then take them back to the jail.
The jail? The jail?
Well, that's what we do, ma'am. We put people in jail.
It sure was entertaining watching them turn pale. One looked ready to swoon.
You can sit there on that bench, ma'am.
I demand to see Judge Rampart at once.
He'll set bail in the morning.
I refuse to spend a night in that loathsome place.
You had your chance not to, ma'am. I told you to disperse, and you didn't. I told you to let people through, but you didn't.
I will be a martyr for a noble cause.
I got their names in the logbook, along with the charges, one by one, except for one woman who wouldn't say who she was. But I knew anyway. She was Mrs. Ruble, wife of the bank teller Ganymede Ruble. So I just put that down, while Rusty, rolling his eyes, escorted them biddies back to the cells. I have to give them credit, though. They held their chins high, and none of them got the vapors or busted into tears or any of that stuff. I put them into both cells so the gals would be able to sit on the bunks rather than the cement floor, and I could see them staring at them two pails that Rusty had cleaned out, and a couple of them just closed their eyes real tight, not wanting to see what comforts the Puma County lockup provided for its special guests. I left the lamp lit and waited. It wouldn't be long before there'd be hammering on the office door, and a mess of the town's foremost and outstanding citizens would swarm in, probably armed with buggy whips and artillery. It took about half an hour before the gents arrived, wild-eyed and ornery from what I could see out the window. Hubert Sanders was leading the assault.
Open up immediately.
You got business here?
I've come to fetch my wife.
She's in for the night, trespassing. Lucky for her, I quit right there because I could have added a few more.
She is going to leave there right now or your head will roll.
It rolls already. My ma says I need a stiffer neck. You out there. You force the door to the sheriff's office and you'll walk into buckshot.
Pickens, this is Judge Rampart. Open this door.
Not if there's gonna be a stampede.
I said open it.
You can come in if you come in alone and the rest of them rioters clear out.
I said open it!
You move them rioters back and I'll open up. You're the only one coming in. Agreed?
I don't agree to anything. Release those women. That's a court order.
You come on in alone and we'll see about it.
All right, settle down. Settle down, people. It's clear he has the upper hand, so we must proceed with a modicum of self-restraint. I'll come in alone. The rest are off the steps and under orders not to rush.
I nodded to Rusty, who could just see some of the mob from the barred window.
They've backed up some.
All right, Judge. You'll be walking into the bore of a scattergun, and if there's a rush on this door, you'll get hurt.
Are you threatening me?
I'm keeping order and keeping the law.
You have my word. I'm ready.
I unbarred the door, my scattergun ready, and let the man in. He was sure steaming. I closed and barred the door behind him.
I am directing you to release them.
Soon as they posted bail. They've been charged proper according to the law, and they can post bail and I'll unlock.
Now!
If it wasn't your friends, would you be yelling at me? You got a law for your friends and their ladies, and another law for the rest of the world?
I said now!
Tell you what. I swore to uphold the law without favor. I'm doing it. You set bail for these persons, and I'll collect it, or your clerk can, and then I'll let them loose.
Stop pointing that shotgun at me.
You stop threatening to break the law, and I will.
I am declaring court in session. I am setting bail at $5.
You tell that to them outside and collect it. I'll give it to your clerk in the morning. Here's the log.
He studied the arrest log.
You certainly know how to get your tail in a crack, don't you, Pickens?
I'll put it in a worse crack if I charge them with disturbing the peace, but I will straight off if this ain't done proper.
Rampart walked to the door and waited for me to unbar it and stepped out. I closed it, and Rusty, he just stood there with a cockeyed grin pasted on his face.
What are you smiling at?
Thinking about where you'll be tomorrow?
It's Rampart.
You got them people backed off and not coming in?
I do.
I let him in while Rusty covered that door with the scattergun. And I locked it behind the judge. There were some greenbacks in his hand.
Bail, 35.
I'll give you a receipt. I wrote numbers real good and gave him his receipt.
Release them.
You tell him when they're going to appear in court. He
looked ready to uncork again, but he nodded. I went and unlocked the cells. Them seven gals didn't put on airs this time. They didn't even stare me down. They just flooded out as fast as they could and into my office.
Oh, thank you, Judge. You're a saint.
I'll expect all of you in court at 9 tomorrow. You're charged with trespassing.
A fleeting rage floated across her face, but she swallowed it. She approached me. That gob, it landed on my star and oozed down and dripped to the floor. Then she stalked away.
I'm glad you don't chew, ma'am. Never liked brown spit.
I let them ladies out the door and into the night. The judge lingered, so I closed the door again.
I'm not going to support you. We need a new sheriff, and you're not it. This town's a cesspool, but I'll see what I can do to keep Berg out of this office. I've got some difficulties ahead of me on that score. Like Delphinium Sanders, a mad moose if ever there was one. Oh, I don't know what'll happen to the Republic if women get the suffrage.
My ma would have made a good sheriff. She'd arrest me if I busted the law.
Rampart stared and stared and smiled. I was in Rampart's courtroom at 9, and so were Ralston and Jardine, all ready to testify. But them old gals never showed their faces, and Rampart, he finally fined them the amount of the bail. And that was that. I thought he was glad that the biddies didn't try some weepy theater in his courtroom.
So how'd the show go last night?
There were some empty seats. All that trouble scared people off.
I'll try to keep the peace tonight, but no telling what the dingbats will do.
The show went well enough, all things considered. You have to give those showgirls credit. They'd been jailed all night. Barely made it to the matinee. And then did an evening show, too.
You tell Ambrosia I'm ready anytime she is. I'll get Rampart to tie the knot.
Pickens, I don't think she's very fond of Doubtful. But good luck stealing my star from me.
Doubtful's a real nice town. She'd be real happy here. I can put up a cabin near the creek.
Doubtful's the second worst town we've ever played. Sorry to disparage your grand metropolis, but it's been a hard haul here.
What's the worst town, Alphonse?
Unquestionably, Livingston, Montana. There's a town to peel the hide off a bull.
What's the trouble with it?
It's a railroad town, and that should tell you what you need to know. If you think cowboys are wild, just try some drunken track layers. Cowboys are sissies compared to that bunch.
Well, I guess I'm sort of dumb, so tell me.
They shut me down every night, stole the box office, tore the theater apart, stole all my girls and impregnated everyone, so I had to sell the girls to them and get a new cast back in New York.
That's not so bad. Doubtful's worse than that.
All the founding mothers of Livingston are showgirls.
I wish I was lawing up there. I could have made off with Ambrosia.
Not if you want to keep your gray guts inside your tender pink belly and your privates attached to the rest of you.
Maybe Ambrosia has talents I never thought about, but I'd still marry her.
Them fellers went back into their theater, and I went back to Sheriffin. Now that the town was sort of cooled down a little, maybe I could work on that murder, the knife and a pinky pearl a few days earlier. The man lay buried in Doubtful's little plot for the dead, but I'd not caught the killer. I pretty well knew who I was looking for, but that kind of knowing and proving it were different deals. If Iceberg and Luke the Butcher weren't hanging around where there were rooms to let, then someone was putting them up, and I knew where to start now. I had unpinned my Pima County badge and washed it real good and put it back on. The last time I'd got spit at, it was a mad raccoon under a porch, but that fracas was settled with a piece of canvas. This time, I got spat at by Doubtful's nobility, and it had me thinking that the Sanderses had them a carriage house behind their big house, with carriage and stalls below and a hayloft above, just right for summertime visitors. I was pretty sure that was where them two were hanging. The Doubtful Bank was the fanciest building in town. It started as a frame structure, but then it got gussied up with yellow sandstone with white enamel doors and windows. There it was, a sandstone monument to Doubtful, radiating goodwill, providing financial services to the businesses, cashing checks, doling out cash for the tills of stores and saloons, and reminding everyone on Main Street that Doubtful was civilized. I hardly went into the place. But today, I wish to talk to Hubert Sanders, the bank's founder, president, and sole owner, not to mention the most influential man in the county. I stepped into its cool quiet, the thick sandstone shielding the lucky fellers inside against the summer sun. There were two teller cages, but Sanders' office was over in a rear corner where he could discreetly keep an eye on his customers while not being obvious about it. There was a little wooden gate that kept a hoi polloi like me out of his office, so I approached one of them tellers whose wife had just gotten bailed out.
Feller, I'd like to talk to the boss in there.
Sorry, he's busy.
It's a law matter, so I guess I'll just let myself through there.
He looked fit to lose a wisdom tooth, but I unhooked that little walnut gate and headed over to the boss man. Sanders peered up at me, removed his spectacles, and pouted, without so much as a greeting.
I got a request. You got a couple fellers in the loft of your carriage barn I need to talk to. It's a law matter, so I'm looking for your okay on it.
If it wasn't acceptable for you to come in here without my permission, then you can imagine my answer to your intrusion on my house and grounds.
I thought maybe you could help me solve some crimes around here.
You're the only crime in sight.
One of them fellers in your barn, he might be dangerous to you and your wife.
If your goal is to persuade me of something, bringing up my wife is certainly impolitic.
I never did hear that word before. It sounds as bad as a kidney stone.
Out!
I may have to go in there anyway if I get the goods on the feller. Name's Luke the Butcher, and he's a menace to Mrs. Sanders and everyone else around here. You don't want him on your place. You don't want that phony lawman either.
I said out!
He reached into his desk drawer and produced a small, shiny revolver.
Shoot the sheriff and you'll swing. Put that thing away before I get serious.
But he just aimed at my navel. I reached across and slapped his hand to the left and then just yanked the thing out of his mitt. It was a .32 caliber five-shot lady gun.
You can pick it up from me or Rusty tomorrow.
He looked a little cooked around his gills. so I just left him to stew. I took the revolver back to my office and handed it to Rusty.
It belongs to Sanders. He's lucky I didn't pinch him. Give it back tomorrow.
You favoring the rich suddenly?
Yes.
I bulled across the town square to the courthouse looking for a supervisor, any supervisor who was going to listen to me for a moment or two. Ziggy Camp was sucking Old Orchard from a desk bottle when I barged in.
I just took Hubert Sanders' revolver from him. He can have it back tomorrow.
Well, now that ain't politic, right?
He was aiming it at the Puma County Sheriff. I didn't charge him, so maybe I was politic after all.
He took offense, did he?
He was wishing I'd depart from his altar. I wanted permission to get onto his place. He's harboring Iceberg and the Butcher, and I have some business with the Butcher. Like who and what did he kill and rob?
She's the one harboring them pickings. You shouldn't have cut her loose. She'll be back at her post this eve so you can arrest her again.
Well, if she stops traffic in or out of that opera house, I will. And if that costs me my badge, then it's my tough luck. My ma, she always said, don't hide in the bulrushes.
I think she was referring to Moses.
I don't know who she was talking about, but if Delphinium breaks the law, she'll get whatever she's got coming.
Doubtful sure is entertaining. You gonna pinch Ralston and that showman Jardine? They've gone naked again. There's a mess of bare-ass ladies prancing around in there, robbing Doubtful of its cash.
Show me the law, right there on the books, and I will.
Well, maybe Lawyer Stokes can. He'll sound out the letters for you.
I already asked him. If there's a law, he ain't told me about it.
Your type don't vote. The ones that vote in every election are all like Delphinium Sanders.
Then let them vote for supervisors who pass a law against bare-ass beauty.
Don't be hasty. We're studying it. I've been over there to that show twice now studying on it. I'm in no hurry to enact some ill-considered legislation that we'd all regret. It's harder to get a law off the books than on it, and that means we have to act carefully and judiciously. I'm going over there tonight, and I'll take notes. And maybe after this Follies leaves town, I'll bring up the ordinance, and we'll have at it carefully and with proper weighty consideration.
You sure are a bullpecker, Camp. I've proposed to Ambrosia. She's the star of the show.
And?
She's not keen on Doubtful.
Camp, he sucked his Old Orchard, and I got out of there. A feller hardly knew where he stood around Doubtful. One moment I was in hot water, the next moment I wasn't. And the next moment everything had switched around so that them that liked me became them that wanted me out. Well, I had a job to do, which was keep the law and keep the peace. And that's what I would do, no matter what it cost me.
Hey, guy, you want to talk?
I looked up and saw Ambrosia standing there, wearing a gauzy green dress.
You talking to me?
You could buy a girl a cup of Java.
I thought you were gonna pay me $1,000,000.
Okay, you're cheap. I'll buy you a cup. Take me to your favorite joint.
I escorted her to the beanery, where the two of us got into a corner and everyone in there could stare at me and wish they was me.
I hear you want to marry me. So, let's talk.
I spilled the damn coffee, and then I was ready to talk. So what's the deal?
I'll make you happy. I know how to make a man real, real happy.
Right now? I'll buy you a cup later.
Pretty quick.
She sipped a little of her coffee. This was going to drive me bonkers. I patted her on the arm.
Name your deal.
I just want to know you're real serious. Now, I wouldn't marry just anyone.
How serious do I need to get?
Why are you patting my arm when you could be patting my knees under the table?
Whew, I sure never had a babe talk to me like that. It was like listening to a red-hot horseshoe making water hiss. I guess I was too addled to think, so I just sat there and waited. She finally figured out that she should tell me the deal.
I'll marry you for 1 month. I want to leave the show. You're my way out. I'm tired of it. That night in the jail sure did it.
1 month?
Yes, sirree, pal. 1 month. And you can have me every day and night, weekdays and Sundays. After that, you divorce me.
Divorce you?
You betcha. You get Judge Rampart to tie the knot and then get him to sever the knot.
But that's not marriage.
Hey, I usually marry for 2 weeks. After we split, you pay for a stagecoach down to the Union Pacific and for a ticket to Chicago. I got friends there. And I get into a new show.
I don't think I could swing that. Maybe if I didn't pay Rampart to marry and divorce us.
What do you think I am? I don't believe in free love.
You're expensive, all right.
Is there a druggist here?
There's not even a decent doc. You have to go to Laramie for that stuff. We got a faith healer, though.
I need some Williams tooth balm real bad. Mine got stolen when I was stuffed in your jail.
What's that?
It stops my gums from hurting. Little pills of cocaine. Take one, my gums are fine. Take two, and my elbows don't hurt. Take three, and my tits don't hurt either.
Do they hurt?
All the time. They get too much fresh air.
Yeah, you'd have to wire Laramie and get the stuff by stage.
Not me. You. You want to marry me, you gotta keep me in pills.
How much would marrying you for a month cost?
Oh, let's see. Food, tickets, pills, marriage and divorce, maybe 300.
I'm a 40 a month sheriff, not a bank.
Most sheriffs make lots more, one way or another.
I can't marry you, but I'll give you a free sample.
You know anyone who wants to marry me?
My free sample's better than anyone else's.
I'll pay for your coffee.
She dropped some change on the table and hightailed out of the beanery. People sure were watching. I felt about 2 feet tall. My biggest chance for happiness had flown the coop. I was fixing to relieve Rusty long enough so he could visit the county outhouse, but as I passed the Wyoming Hotel, I saw a mess of familiar carriages and buggies. And one of them was that ebony buggy that Delphinium Sanders drove around doubtful. But there were a few more I spotted. The Victoria, owned by the Wallers. The Surrey, operated by the Maxwells. And a few more. I knew exactly what was going on in there. Them watching ward gals was planning the next assault on the Ralston Opera House. I thought maybe to just walk by. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought this was a chance to straighten out a few items. I got my courage together, entered, and sure enough, the whole watch and ward bunch was in there. All them gals just plain stared my way like they'd seen two horns and a tail and some feller in red underwear.
Sheriff, this is a private meeting. Good afternoon.
I'd just like to talk a moment and then I'll vamoose.
Leave now, Sheriff.
I guess you nice ladies are making some plans for the theater tonight. I'm here to keep the peace, and there's some things that need saying. If Mr. Ralston don't want you on his property, it's his right. So don't trespass. And don't harass them people going in or coming out. That's disturbing the peace. And don't try to block doors. That's not safe, and I'll stop it. Now, you want to shout and wave your signs, that's your right. That's what you're free to do, long as I'm sheriff. You can holler away, and them you holler at can holler back, far as I'm concerned. But if anyone starts hitting on anyone else, that's inviting a trip to my jail, no matter who. I guess that does her.
No, it doesn't do it. This society is going to remove that theater from our community and wipe free the stain upon our virtue and reputation, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Ma'am, you stay within the law and you'll be fine. You step outside and you'll be facing a judge.
Judge Rampart is a friend, and wholly approves, and will free us, just as he freed us before.
Well, as long as you're taking that sort of view of it, I'll swear in extra deputies, and they'll be on duty at the theater for this performance and the final matinee and evening show tomorrow.
If there's a theater left, Mr. Pickens.
What are you talking about?
You heard me, sir.
Doubtful's pretty much made of wood, ma'am. And that won't change until time passes and the first buildings get rebuilt with stone and brick. Now, the only stone building now is the bank, but that wouldn't survive either because there's wood on all sides of it. So don't do nothing foolish.
When one lives in Hades, sir, one struggles to get out, by whatever means. Now then, are we done with this unpleasantness?
You watch and ward over this town proper, and folks will thank you, ma'am. A good watchman, a good warden, those are things we all need.
Them ladies didn't have anything else to say to me after that, so I left. I guess I didn't make any new friends there. Yeah, they'd been warned, but now I had some more warnings to give. I found both Ralston and Jardine in the little office offstage.
You got much fire protection around here?
Well, not unless Doubtful starts a fire department and buys a fire engine.
You got some water buckets stashed around?
Rain barrels at each corner of the building.
That's it?
Doubtful's a wooden town, Sheriff. A fire 2 blocks away will turn me to ash.
Why?
I told him about visiting the tea party and the threat I thought I'd heard.
We can add a few buckets, and I'll see about keeping some sharp eyes outside.
Not during a performance, but at night or early morning or something like that.
I sometimes get the idea that they'd like to lock up the whole company and set fire to us all. Well, now then, what will you be doing about it? I have 10,000 in this structure.
I'm gonna talk to a few husbands.
I don't think they'll want their stores burned down.
They might simply start a fire elsewhere. When the town fire bell rings, everyone heads for the flames, including everyone in the theater.
Are you certain the ladies were talking about fire?
Nope, but that's what sort of hung there betwixt my two ears.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm heading for the courthouse and telling the supervisors what's brewing. And if Judge Rampart will see me, I'll give him an earful.
We'll take some measures here, Sheriff, but if you don't know what's in the cards, you can't play the aces.
I headed for the courthouse and couldn't find any of the supervisors and tried Rampart, but he'd gone fishing for the weekend. It was looking like me and Rusty. We'd have to keep Doubtful from boiling over or burning down or lynching the whole theater company. And we didn't have much manpower for that. I headed for the Last Chance Saloon and found Sammy Upward behind the bar, as usual. I asked him to keep an ear peeled and warned him that there could be trouble in Doubtful. Big trouble, like the town burning down. In town that night was about the biggest bunch of people I ever did see, and they kept coming. The more the watch and warders agitated to drive the show away, the more people flooded to Ralston's box office. They were all sorts, not just cowboys off the ranches. Some had come from little places far away, itching to see a real variety show. Others was just curious people who heard stuff about the show and wanted to see with their own eyes. They kept coming, and I knew Ralston and the Follies would have themselves a sellout again. I was keeping watch. So far, it was peaceable enough. All them showgoers lined up to buy tickets, and the watch and ward ladies stood out of the way, heeding what I told them about disturbing the peace and not trespassing. What's more, the ladies weren't hollering or taunting customers or slapping them with signs or misbehaving. They had their signs all right, all about keeping Doubtful clean and pure and motherhood for decency and stuff like that. But nothing much happened. The theater had a few extra buckets ready, and it filled the rain barrels. And Rusty was quietly patrolling the back and sides of the theater, as well as the alleys and buildings around there, but no one was setting fire to anything, and no one was even lurking around. I'd watched all them showgirls walk in through the stage door, including Ambrosia, and I wished I could be inside for the show. But this time, I'd stay outside, keeping an eye on everything while the show went ahead in there. They were all trusting me to keep them safe and keep the peace, so that's what I intended to do. Delphinium, she lowered her sign, which had a single word on it, decency, and headed my way, so I braced myself for trouble.
We've followed your directions exactly.
Yes, you have, and it's been peaceful tonight.
I can't begin to tell you how deeply this theater offends every honorable woman in Doubtful. We go to bed weeping for our city.
If it ain't to your liking, ma'am, there's the city council and the county supervisors. They make ordinances and laws. That's how it's supposed to work. They're elected.
By men? What chance have we against men? We'd like our town to be like a beautiful garden planted with roses. We'd like a town filled with happy homes, good husbands well employed, good wives and mothers, good sons and daughters, church bells ringing joyously every Sunday, picnics, potluck suppers, 4th of July parties, safety, no crime, moral courage, character, grace. We'd like that, but we're powerless to change a thing.
You've already got some of that, Mrs. Sanders.
Very little of it. Women can't vote, and men don't want the town to change.
You'll have your garden someday, ma'am.
Not as long as you're sheriff.
Thanks for your cooperation, ma'am.
I don't want to know what's going on in there. It's not just the tawdry women who are ruined. It's the fine young men who will never look upon womanhood in the same way and who will never admire virtue again. Good evening, sir.
She and her watch and ward crew marched off into the sinking sun, oddly quiet and less militant than before.
She is a magnificent woman.
Ike Berg was standing just behind me. I eyed his waist. He was not visibly armed. What are you doing here?
Waiting for you to get yourself fired. I want your job.
You won't have it.
You might keep the 10-star pickings, but I will enforce the law.
I don't follow you.
There are higher laws, and there are man-made laws. I'm bound to enforce higher law.
Such as? You tell me what higher law and how you'll enforce it.
You wait and see.
Where are you from? You got a family?
They're all dead. I am alone.
You got someone close, a relative or something?
Pickens, I am a man without a country. A man who has no safe harbor, no friend, no profession, no religion, no trade, no destination, no future or past. I hear the voice of the universe, the music of the divine, the thunder of judgment.
You ain't told me what law you'll enforce.
Nor will I. It is for you to discover.
I could hear that show cranking up in there. I thought it might be a good idea to rattle doors, so I started down Main Street, checking every door of every dark business. Sometimes the storekeeper forgot to lock up, and then I'd have to fetch him and also look around the place. But each door was tight this night. I tried the mercantile, the ice cream soda parlor, the milliner, the law office of Attorney Stokes, but they was all tight and clean. That was fine with me. It sure was quiet. I headed back to the opera house in time for the intermission and saw them cowboys out in the street. Ralston was in his box office doing some arithmetic, so I drifted that way.
Sell out 55 standing room tickets. It's our biggest night ever here.
I would have liked to see the show again.
It's hot in there, even with the vent. The girls are sweating.
With nothing on?
Heat got to Jardine, and he's indisposed. He's turned the show over to his substitute, whatever his name is.
He's a card, that Jardine. Makes the show go right along.
He stopped here to get the box office take, and then he went to his hotel.
I hope you fellers make some money after the rough times around here.
We won't even break even.
I drifted away, keeping an eye on Doubtful. I thought I'd better check with Rusty, so I headed up toward the courthouse square and the sheriff's office. Rusty was in there, reading a Captain Billy Whizbang magazine by the light of a kerosene lamp. That was the sort of magazine that Delphinium Sanders wouldn't want in Doubtful.
All quiet. Well, what's that?
Beats me. I stepped outside to see if a June storm was coming up, but the night was soft and starry and I didn't see any flickers of lightning. Just a mess of glitter pasted up there.
It ain't a thunderstorm, but I'll go scout.
I headed into the night, full dark now, and sure didn't see much. The beanery was black. The bank was black. I eyed it close and couldn't see any trouble there. I checked around, one business after another. I headed back to the bank, for no reason I could explain, and tried its front door and its rear one. They were tight. But there was something in the air that smelled familiar, like maybe cordite. So I pushed my face against an iron-barred window, but I couldn't see anything in there. I stepped back and studied the windows, and sure enough, a high-up one was cracked and some glass was out of it. I found a few shards on the ground. I headed back to the sheriff's office and got a reflector lantern.
Bank's locked, but something's wrong.
Rusty and me went across the square and shone the lamp into there. It was murky, like maybe there was something in the air.
Some got blown. I got a whiff of powder or something.
I'll get Sanders. You stay here and stay armed. Don't know what's in the building or the bushes. Rusty doused the light and sat on the steps. I had to hike to the north side of town and that big place I was ordered never to enter. The house was dark, even though it was hardly 9. Them two were early to rise and early to bed types. I bet they had separate bedrooms at opposite ends of the house. After a long time, Sanders appeared, in a bathrobe and slippers, a lamp in hand, and a dour look on his granite face.
I need you to come to the bank. Something's haywire.
Well, are the doors locked?
Tight. Both doors and the barred windows. I shook every one.
And why are you bothering me?
There's some broken glass.
The windows are all barred. You say the doors are locked.
There's a smell, like something had been set off.
Oh, you're full of ill-founded notions. The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
You want to lend me a door key?
Oh, all right. And I'll follow along in a bit.
I took the brass key and hiked back to the bank. Rusty was sitting there on the stoop, a revolver in his hand. He lit his lamp, and I unlocked, and we walked into a wall of acrid air. Something sure wasn't right. I headed for the safe. It wasn't a big one, but about as tall as me, and all that was needed in a town like Doubtful. We stepped over a large, tangled tarpaulin lying on the wooden floor. I thought I knew what that was for. Pull it over a charge that's gonna go off, and it dampens the sound even as it's blown away. The door of the black enameled safe hung open. We peered into that safe while Rusty held the lamp close. There was paper stuff on the bottom shelves, but greenbacks and gold were missing.
Gone. All gone. Nothing here but some securities I hold for people.
What's gone?
Our operating cash. Greenbacks. Our gold.
How much?
I know it to the penny. It's on my desk. I did the ledger only a few hours ago. Of gold, there was about 5,000. 3,000 in double eagles, 2 in eagles and half eagles. Of banknotes, there were 7,000 and something. In all denominations, singles, twos, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, hundreds, all used. We have little call for currency.
Wrapped in any fashion?
In gum paper packs of 10, mostly. It'd all fit in a canvas postal bag.
Coins?
Locked in cash drawers at the 2 teller stations. Every penny accounted for.
Rusty threw the lamplight on the drawers and tugged at them. They remained locked.
Oh, I'm ruined. The bank's ruined. Doubtful's ruined. I cannot pay demand against deposits. The town's gone to Hades. I'm a debtor, an outcast. Oh, poor Delphinium, doomed to penury.
Not yet. That money's not gotten far. That blast happened just an hour ago. That cash don't fly away. It gets hauled. It gets packed. Gold ain't light. It takes some sweat to carry that load out of town.
Ruined. I knew the instant you let that theater company into town it would come to this. Open one door, and all of hell rushes in.
You think they did it?
Who else? No one in Doubtful would even think of doing such a dastardly thing.
You think someone in the company came here and stole the cash while the show was running? Still is running? That company's still on stage.
Yes, exactly. Sin begets sin. Evil begets evil. This town turned dark and mean, and it spelled doom for us all.
Then the loot's still here. We'll track her down.
I'm ruined! Even if you find the money, I'm ruined.
I motioned Rusty to shine the light on that door in the safe. Someone with a good drill had widened the crack where the door fit against the safe and poured blasting oil in there and then ignited it. I knew a bit about that stuff from the miners around Doubtful. They call it nitro, and most of them were scared of it because it was unstable. They mostly preferred dynamite, which was a type of clay soaked with this nitro for safety. But you couldn't squeeze sticks of dynamite between a safe door and the frame of the safe. Someone who knew a lot about this had been in here and done it. Blasting oil. Poured it into that hole. Then it spread down inside there.
I don't know blasting oil from chewing tobacco.
See? You've always had incompetence in your office. If you don't solve this, you'll be out on your ear, and I will celebrate.
Thanks for helping me out. Who's got a key? Them doors were locked.
I have the original. Mrs. Sanders has copy number 1. And one of my trusted men, the cashier, Ovid LaRue, says copy number 2. It opens both doors.
LaRue, is he the hairy one?
You'd call him that, I suppose. I'd say he has fine mutton chops of a sandy hue.
Where does he live?
Oh, he's impeccable, Sheriff, and I'll not have you harassing an innocent man. He'd guard this bank with his life. He's a missionary, you know.
That's what I'm worried about. Where does he live?
I won't tell you. I'll not have you casting a cloud over his life. I'd even trust him with my wife.
Will you mind if I go talk to him?
Certainly I do.
Who might Mrs. Sanders have lent the key to?
She might have lent it to Sheriff Berg, a man of impeccable stature.
Did she lend it to him?
I'll end this foolish line of inquiry and tell you that you'll not harass my wife, nor shall you speak to her, nor shall you speak to either of our guests, Mr. Berg and his deputy. You will proceed to the Opera House, find out who has taken the bank's entire cash and gold assets, and make an arrest. Right now!
Is there any other way into the bank?
Someone picked the locks, obviously.
Someone? Meaning someone in the Grand Luxembourg Follies. Picked the lock, entered, blew the safe door loose, took the bills and gold, exited, picked the lock shut after the robbery, and hightailed away.
Exactly.
My ma, she always said everyone's got a theory.
Someone in that company's a demolition expert.
There's miners around doubtful that have the knack.
But the one who blew my door was a safe cracker.
Well, what's the difference?
That's why you should resign, Pickens. Any competent peace officer would know the difference.
Well, whoever got the stuff is no more than an hour away. I guess we better start local. Rusty, get the blown-up tarpaulin. Maybe it belongs to someone. Mr. Sanders, you got a list of what got took?
It won't do you any good. I'm not sure you know how to count.
You want to name who took it, long as you seem to know.
Ralston. I never trusted the man.
He's sitting in his box office.
That's what I'm saying. He's got the loot in there.
I didn't see what more could be said to that feller. I was going to start with Ovid LaRousse. When money's missing, look for it. That's about all I ever knew. Me and Rusty left the banker to ponder his fate in there. LaRousse had better have a damn good explanation, or I'd be tearing his rooms apart.
You know where that cashier lives?
Yeah, he's got a suite above the sampling room. He's a gambling fool. I've seen him lose his shirt to Kronk, the dealer in there, night after night.
Now we're getting somewhere. We passed the Opera House. The show was just winding up, and a few people were drifting out ahead of the curtain calls. Ralston wasn't in his box office. Everything at the theater looked normal. The bank had been entered, its safe blown, the loot removed, and the door locked behind the thief, while the popular show was playing and the streets were deserted. I sort of admire that fella, blowing that safe so fast.
You think it's Luke the Butcher? He'd have access to Delphinium's bank key.
He cuts meat, not metal, but who knows? Let's rattle the cashier's cage first.
You think we should tell the county supervisors first? Maybe the county lost some money.
Don't see how. This was cash and gold. We turned in to Mrs. Gladstone's sampling room. I thought maybe to talk with Kronk, the tin horn at the green baize table at the rear. He was running a faro game and pulling cards out of the faro box on his table for two players. He eyed me coldly. You seen Ovid LaRousse?
I wouldn't know.
He bucked the tiger much?
Who did you say?
I saw how that was going, so I lifted his faro box off the table and got fixed to throw it at him.
Hey!
He reached for his pepper box. Then he saw Rusty's iron aimed at his cheating heart and settled down.
He was in here after the bank closed. I haven't seen him since.
Was he in some kind of mood?
He's always in a mood, Sheriff.
He upstairs?
Go to hell.
I set down the faro box, and them gamblers looked like they had swallowed spit.
I could have won on the jack.
I headed up the stairs at the side of the joint. We got no answer and busted in. The place wasn't locked. It was dark. We lit a lucifer and fired up a lamp. But all we saw was LaRousse's orderly room. Not a feather loose, not anything. Not a razor, not a comb, not a brush. In fact, he pulled out.
You dead?
Nah, dead people leave smelly socks around. He packed his underwear.
Would you say that about me if I disappeared?
I'd say your underwear killed you off. We better see what Turk has to say. I found Turk drunk as a skunk in the stinking office he lived in. But tonight he was clutching a flask of Old Orchard. You rent any nags or a wagon tonight?
I wouldn't rent you a nag if you begged me.
That cashier, LaRousse, he been around here?
No, and I wouldn't rent him a nag. I don't think he's ever sat a nag. He arrived by coach.
Anyone around here tonight?
Just the usual rummies.
Anyone head out with a horse or wagon?
What do you take me for, an idiot?
You see anything unusual?
Oh, caterpillars crawling all over the place. and earthquakes and tidal waves. Oh, I've been slapping horse flies all night. Oh.
And after you sucked on that bottle, everything quieted down, right?
Oh, how'd you know that?
Come on, Rusty. Let's head for Sanders' place.
You didn't even thank me.